Getting ready to buy or sell a home in 30, 60, or 90 days? Then check out BundleSelect.com to find out how you could save 20% or more on your entire transaction. Save on real estate, lending, and title. With BundleSelect.com, technology and a personal concierge are at your service to save you time and money. Bundle Select's hand-picked team of experts will compete for your business, so you'll save thousands of dollars by bundling all of these services. BundleSelect.com gives you all the control, including using your own realtor. I'm Joe Kucher with Real Estate Radio Live, and I have been on the radio educating consumers for years. By bundling services like real estate, lending, and title, you could save tens of thousands of dollars. Act now, and this new model could save you money on your move, lower your interest rate, or cover your closing costs. Visit BundleSelect.com. That's BundleSelect.com.
The estimated minimum savings are based on a comparison with a national average. Individual results may vary, and the estimated savings are not guaranteed. Bundle Select, Inc. is a licensed real estate broker. California Bureau of Real Estate Broker, license number 0046-6902.
Welcome to Real Estate Radio Live, an informative and engaging podcast discussing everything you need to know about the world of real estate. Your host, Joe Kucera, provides you with insight and guidance on how to buy, sell, finance, and invest in real estate. He also offers real estate tax management strategies, new construction advice, home improvement tips, and much, much more. And now, to guide you around the world of real estate, here's your host and Real Estate Radio Live team leader, Joe Kucera.
Welcome in, Joe Kucera with Real Estate Radio Live. Thank you for those that are watching us on the Facebook feed. We appreciate that very much. We try to come to you again every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, depending on our schedule. Try to keep that consistent at 3:05. Unless we have some guests that have a conflict, we'll continue to do that. Every once in a while, we'll do the Friday shows, depending on schedules. Just kind of a quick reminder, the focus again on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, typically education, information. We'll have guests in on a fairly regular basis depending on how the shows go, the timing goes, and then we have Jack Russo on a fairly regular basis talking about something new, starting something new in Silicon Valley. The focus is on entrepreneurship, starting companies, growing companies. There's a big demand for really this education, the knowledge of what happens in Silicon Valley. We have a lot of people that download the podcast out of the state, out of the country. And I think primarily the reason for this is because just kind of the intrigue of Silicon Valley, what's going on in Silicon Valley, what are the changes, what's new, and the dynamics. It's a unique place. Most of you, if you've lived here, you know what I mean. You understand. If you do business here, you know what I mean. But I think it's hard for us to understand sometime if we live outside the area, what is the big deal with Silicon Valley? Why is it different? Why are so many companies still coming? Why is it so expensive? And then there's the other side of people talking about there's a lot that want to move out of California because of the high cost, the expense. It's hard to recruit employees in an area that's so expensive. So there's that challenge too. So we'll continue to bring this information to you as we do regularly. Again, for more information, go to reradiolive.com. No matter what, though, we always want you to download the podcast. That way you can listen to the show anytime, anywhere, at your convenience. And that is a couple different places. You could just do a Google search for Real Estate Radio Live. You could go to iTunes and type in Real Estate Radio Live. You could go to our website, reradiolive.com, and get the podcast there. During the week, if you need to reach me, it's the same way all the time. You could, of course, go to the website and reach me that way. But email joe@reradiolive.com or text or call 408-838-9060. Two things I want to cover today. First segment, I'll talk a little bit about Wells Fargo. What are they up to now? There's some changes. Most of you know they've had a lot of problems in the last couple of years with customer service complaints, some activities that were borderline fraudulent, some problems going on within the company. Now they're making some big changes in some of the branches. So I'm going to talk a little bit about kind of the banking industry in general in the first segment, in the state of the banking industry. And then the second segment, second part of the show, I'm going to talk specifically about more programs coming out for you to the consumer to help you qualify, easier to qualify. And so you'll hear a lot about financing called non-QM, that's qualified mortgages. These are mortgages that kind of stretch the envelope, if you will, or stretch the guidelines. So typically, most of these lenders lend under certain guidelines that will not exceed. They will not make any exceptions. It's pretty clear cut, black and white, boom. If you don't fit in this little box, it's not going to work. That's how most of lending is. However, there are more programs coming out now that we're able to offer to consumers. It's really exciting that these expanded programs are called. So it allows higher DTIs, credit scores sometimes a little bit lower, and especially people that are self-employed, it helps them as well. So we'll get into that conversation and that topic on the second segment. All right, Wells Fargo. So most of you know, if you've been following the show for a while, listening to me, I mean, I'm in the industry. I'm in mortgage banking. I have been for 18 plus years. I'm always very skeptical of the larger lenders. And the reason why is sometimes you get so big, you think you're above the law. And sometimes it's hard to manage the people who you're responsible for. And I don't know if that's an excuse. Sometimes it does get tougher when you get bigger companies. But this is not to pick on Wells Fargo. It's just the truth. There's a lot of major lenders out there. You could think of the big ones that most of us know about. Wells Fargo, Chase, B of A, Citibank, U.S. Bank. Those are probably some of the largest ones that most of us are familiar with and with branding in our neighborhoods. Wells Fargo has had a lot of problems the last couple of years, and I've been kind of warning people and forewarning you. Be careful, because sometimes when there is smoke, there's fire. And I'm not going to spend the whole show going through all the problems, but you remember, if you do remember, a couple of years ago, it all started with a lot of phony accounts. Employees were compensated and given bonuses for opening accounts. And it turns out they were opening, I don't know, thousands and thousands of accounts for people without their authorization. And people had no idea. All of a sudden, they were turning up with new checking accounts, new credit card accounts, and they had no idea where these accounts were coming from. So this was disclosed and found out that the employees were being incented on a program to add new accounts. And so somehow, some way, for a couple of years, which is crazy to me that no one knew about this, so that's why I would argue that someone did know about it, and there'll be continued lawsuits about this going on, is that senior management knew about it, someone knew about it, the person running the division, she left making a couple hundred million dollars when they got in trouble. That's what some of these people do. They just leave and they pocket a lot of money and then leave the damage on the doorstep for someone else to take care of. And that was the case with Wells Fargo. But since then, the problem is they continue to have more and more problems with a number of different things. There's discrimination lawsuits, the way they treated a certain class of family and income levels of people of different areas. There's some lawsuits in regards to that. They were ordered to pay $97 million for violating labor laws and the way they paying some of their brokers. So there's a lot of problems. I'm not going to go into detail, but the reason I'm bringing this up is that, you know, years ago when we had this mortgage meltdown, the thought was, you know, are we ever going to get into a situation where it's too big? Are you too big to fail? And I know there's arguments on both sides. My argument is that you should never allow some of these banks or some of these large institutions that are managing people's money and their livelihood like this to get too big, so that they're just way too big to fail. In other words, the theory behind that is if someone gets so big, like a Wells Fargo or someone else, then in one case they were the number one mortgage company. They held the most mortgages. I think they were just surpassed, if I'm not mistaken, by Quicken Loans recently. But for many years, Wells Fargo has held that crown of, you know, holding the most mortgages in the United States. Well, in some cases, that's good. In some cases, it's bad. It's good for Wells Fargo because they have been a marketing machine and they've got a lot of mortgages because of that, amongst other things. But the bad news is when you have that much business, you get into a situation where you become complacent and you think that no matter what you do, people are going to continue to use your products and services. Now, I'm not suggesting that this was the philosophy at Wells Fargo, but I am suggesting they've got a pattern that would suggest that some of this was going on in the way senior management was conducting their business, because there are lawsuits after lawsuits after lawsuits and complaints about Wells Fargo's practices, everywhere from opening fraudulent accounts to mortgage problems, to mischarging people fees they shouldn't have been on mortgages, to labor law violations, and on and on. So what does this mean? What it means is that they're getting caught. They're getting caught for doing things you're not supposed to. And also what it means is, unfortunately, a lot of times power and money get in the way of people's logical decisions. And again, we don't know what the thinking was behind some of this stuff. But what I do know is, is that as a consumer, I throw this out there from time to time, does this bother you? And the reason I say that is most people go, might say, of course, Joe, it bothers me, but you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. A lot of people turn their head because they think it didn't happen to me. And you know, Wells Fargo gave me a little better rate than someone did a year ago. And I know they were accused of all this stuff, and there's a lot of things going on at Wells Fargo. I don't trust them. But you know what? I've had an account with them for 20 years, and I don't really want to change it. These are the kinds of things I'm suggesting that, you know, take action on as a consumer. You hear me say all the time, consumers continue to become more educated and informed. You'll hear me say that all the time, and I believe that. And it does. It happens. We have a more informed, educated consumer group on every aspect of life and business and product and service. And banking's no different. Why in the world would you do business with a bank that conducts himself this way? And it has nothing to do with certain individual people, certainly not blaming every single employee that works for Wells Fargo, because that's not the case. It's never the case. But someone in senior management for a long time should be responsible for a lot of the stuff that's going on. So the question goes to the consumer, I'll throw out there, does this bother you enough to not do business with them to change the way you think? And what's an interesting dynamic, I haven't taken any formal surveys, but every once in a while we'll do some informal surveys and research and kind of look into this. And you'd be surprised the amount of people that will say, you know what, I know they got in trouble. I know they cheated. I know they ripped these people off. I know they didn't treat these people right. But you know what, I got a little better rate and I save $50 a month. So that's all that matters. It's for me. So the question is, and to think about, when you do business with a bank specifically, or anybody, but we're talking about a bank today, does that matter? Does it matter? Do you turn your head to that? Does it matter if they're being caught with these illegal activities? Or does the only thing matter that it hasn't happened to you as an individual? And as long as you still have accounts there, and as long as you could get a little better rate or save some money, it doesn't matter to you. You'll continue to use Wells Fargo. It's an interesting dynamic because it's not a judgment in any way, but it's just an observation that some people would argue, I'm uncomfortable doing business with someone like that, and I'm going to move my money somewhere else. Or if push comes to shove, even if I have to pay a little bit more, I'm going to use someone else because it's principal. But not everybody thinks that way. Not everybody thinks that way, for sure. So it's something to think about. The question is, as we finalize this segment today, the next time you think about opening a checking account, a savings account, getting a mortgage, I would think about it. I mean, these are the types of things, just like voting for a certain politician or voting your party or voting your conscience or voting what you believe in. When you open an account or do business with someone, you're voting for them. You're making a vote for that company when you decide to do business with them. So would you vote for that company? That's the question. And that's the question I'm going to leave you with. And think about when you do business with them. Are you voting for them? Are you doing it because you're saving money? Are you doing it because you want to do what's right? And those are all interesting questions to think about. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When I come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the new mortgage programs, the non-QM, which is qualified mortgages, and how to qualify those. This is Joe Kuchera with Real Estate Radio Live. We'll be back with you. For those that are streaming live on Facebook, stick with us. We'll be back for a quick break in just a minute.
For more information on today's program, visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com.
Getting ready to buy or sell a home in 30, 60, or 90 days? Then check out BundleSelect.com to find out how you could save 20% or more on your entire transaction. Save on real estate, lending, and title. With BundleSelect.com, technology and a personal concierge are at your service to save you time and money. Bundle Select's hand-picked team of experts will compete for your business, so you'll save thousands of dollars by bundling all of these services. BundleSelect.com gives you all the control, including using your own realtor. I'm Joe Kuchera with Real Estate Radio Live, and I have been on the radio educating consumers for years. By bundling services like real estate, lending, and title, you could save tens of thousands of dollars. Act now, and this new model could save you money on your move, lower your interest rate, or cover your closing costs. Visit BundleSelect.com. That's BundleSelect.com.
The estimated minimum savings are based on a comparison with a national average. Individual results may vary, and the estimated savings are not guaranteed. Bundle Select, Inc. is a licensed real estate broker. California Bureau of Real Estate Broker, license number 0046-6902.
Welcome back to Real Estate Radio Live. For more information on today's topic or guests, just visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com. Again, your host for today's edition of Real Estate Radio Live, Joe Kuchera.
Welcome back in. Joe Kuchera with Real Estate Radio Live. Thank you for those that are following us on Facebook, streaming live. As I mentioned before, we try to do the show here Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Try to stick to right about 3:05 to stay consistent. We'll continue to bring this information to you. It's really important. For almost 8 years now, we've had the radio and the podcast. We continue to get more and more thousands and thousands of downloads a month. And thank you for that, for those that are downloading, listening to the show, sharing information about the show. The objective is the same, and it won't change. And that is, we're going to continue to hopefully provide you valuable information to help you make wise decisions and educate you in and around real estate in general. That's our focus and that's our main objective. So second part of the show, I'm going to talk a little bit about the new mortgages you're hearing more and more about, and you'll continue to hear more and more about, which, by the way, I'm in favor of expanded programs that will allow more people to qualify, especially if they're good programs and they're well thought out. And it helps people that would finance to get financing that, you know, in some cases they couldn't get financing. Now, I am not a fan of in the back, you know, 8-10 years ago when they were doing mortgages and you didn't need to have a job or any income or disclose anything or no credit and 100% financing for the crazy loans that we're creating. I'm not a fan of that. I never will be. I don't care what changes in the future. But I think I am a big fan, not I think, I am a big fan for what I call practical common sense lending. And in some cases, our industry does not practice common sense lending. And it drives people crazy, and I quite frankly, I don't blame them. I don't blame people for the frustration when they do financing sometimes. I'm in this business for years. I live it every day. I see it. I see the people that work it and work around it. And some of it, people just, it makes no sense. I'll give you an example, and it's hard to understand the behind the scenes of how the dynamics work. But let me give you an example that drives me crazy, and it drives people crazy. We could do an FHA loan with 3.5% down, someone that has a credit score in the low sixes, and all that 3.5% down could be gifted money from someone else. The ratios could be high. They could have had a bankruptcy 5 years ago. They could have had a short sale 2 years ago or 3 years ago. And we'll do that loan. We'll do that loan with few conditions. And then you want to say, well, in some cases, that's great. And I'm not bringing this example up to judge someone that's had, you know, trouble with credit or they need a down payment. Believe me, it's good. We want to have programs like that. But the reason I'm bringing this is because of comparison. And then on the other hand, let me give you an example. And that loan will fly through like with flying colors. It'll be easy to do. That loan I just described, FHA, okay? Now, let's compare it with a jumbo loan. Let's say someone has a $750,000 loan. That would be considered jumbo in the Bay Area, anything over $679,000, roughly. And let's say that their house is worth $3 million, and they need a $750,000 loan. In other words, the loan, the value is really good, super low risk. They have 800 credit scores. They have $3 million in the bank. That loan, believe it or not, you might think I'm crazy, that loan in many cases is more difficult to underwrite and approve and close than the loan that I just told you about with the FHA. That's right. Someone with poor credit scores, no money down, had a bankruptcy, had a foreclosure. Again, these are examples. These aren't judgments. These are just for sake of examples. That loan under FHA is easier to close and approve and get done than it is with someone with impeccable credit, extremely good loan-to-value ratios, and a lot of money in the bank. Some people are listening to this going, what am I not getting here? What you're not getting is this is the lending industry. So here's the easy answer to this head-scratching question. Someone might say, Joe, this makes no sense. Well, why is that? So the easy answer, it gets more involved, but the easy answer is that FHA is government-insured and government-backed. There is a mortgage insurance component to FHA. So, hey, when you have an insurance policy on something and someone else is paying the freight, who cares? Let's underwrite anything in the way we can. Jumbo financing, on the other hand, is not government-backed, not government-guaranteed by any government, by any agency. So guess what? When you sell these loans, when you do these loans, whoever's doing them is 100% responsible for these loans. And that's the reason why they're tougher to underwrite and some of the conditions are so ridiculous in some cases. And I work this every single day. 90% of the loans I do are jumbo loans. And it's hard to explain to people sometimes why. And I just wanted to give you a little history behind this, not to make anybody an expert in the mortgage industry, but I know for you out there that have got a loan in the last couple of years, I know, especially with jumbo, people are frustrated. Like, are you kidding me? What do you need this for? What do you need this for? What do you need to know why that $15 deposit went into my account 2 weeks ago? There's a lot of funny things that come up with this financing, and all I can explain to you as a consumer, hopefully that helps the next time you get financing, is anytime, unless something changes, that you require jumbo financing, it's just going to be a little bit more challenging. We're still going to get it done. We're still going to close the loan for you as long as you qualify, as long as there's no issues. The difference is you will feel like you've been run through the ringer a bit too much at times for doing this type of financing. And the primary reason, just to let everybody know again, is that there are no government guarantees or no insurance policies on these jumbo loans. And think about all other aspects of your life. What if you had a guarantee on something when you brought a product or a service? No matter what happened, if it fell apart, if it broke, if someone foreclosed on you, if someone walked away from it, if someone didn't live up to their obligations, what if it was a situation, no matter what, you could not get any trouble or no one's going to lose any money from that? That's a pretty good deal, right? And that's why these loans, these FHA loans and government loans, go so much easier than jumbo financing. That's the primary reason. They're insured, there's mortgage insurance, they're government backed, and so they're better. So the reason why this too, there's some history behind it, is that the FHA loan was created years ago for one primary reason, and that's first-time homebuyer. And it's still a great tool for a program for first-time homebuyer, don't get me wrong. But it's used for more people than just first-time homebuyers sometime now. Second, move-up, refinances. So it's used for different reasons. So the reason I want to tell this quick history is just to give people some idea, some frame of reference of why entering into these market now or these programs that are called non-QM, non-qualified mortgages are so good for people, because what it does is it frees up some of the restrictions on the typical jumbo financing. So just real quick, let me go through some of the things that are different. Typical jumbo financing, most of these investors will not approve a loan or underwrite a loan if your debt-to-income ratio, that's called, referred to as DTI, is at 43% or higher. They just won't. They won't even make an exception. It could be 43.000001, and they will not make an exception. So now, with some of these non-QM programs, they'll go up to 49%, which is a big difference. So based on the file, what they'll do is they'll expand the criteria and they'll allow you to qualify even if the debt-to-income ratio is just under 50%, which in some cases, it's really good. Some people might say, well, Joe, aren't you getting in trouble by allowing someone to go debt-to-income ratio to almost 50%? No, not really. Depending on the file, no, absolutely not. And here's why. Here's why, because there's other factors. If someone's a good credit risk and they've borrowed money for the last 20 years, and they've never had a problem, and they have an incredible, impeccable record. Just because they're self-employed and the way they show their income has them at 49% debt-to-income ratio does not make them a bad risk. It does not. Now, in some people's eyes, that might make them think they're not as good as a risk. But the debt-to-income is not the only piece of the file. You have a person's credit score. You have their credit history. How much money do they have in the bank? What type of job do they have? Where do they get their income? What is their history like? Do they have a foreclosure? Do they have a short sale? Do you have a bankruptcy? All those things are going to factor when you're doing these loans. So before I close out, the last thing I want to say is here's the exciting news. For those people that were turned down for loans, or let's say you worked with a traditional lender and they're telling you, sorry, you don't make enough. Sorry, your DTI is too high. Sorry, you don't have enough down payment. Please understand, we could help you in many cases. Contact us. Reach out to me. If you have any questions on financing, we could also help you use some of this credit. I've talked to you about it before. Drive down your interest rate. Pay for some of your closing costs. There's a lot of things out there that are available to the consumer that they just don't quite know about. And that's what we're here to educate you and let you know that they're here and they're available. So as we close out today, again, if you are out there looking to purchase, get pre-approved, you're not quite sure, someone's telling you sorry, you just don't quite make enough, don't believe that. Come to me, let me know, let's sit down, let's talk about it, let's get a phone call scheduled, and let's find out if you could really benefit from some of these new programs. I think you would be surprised, I think you'd be pleasantly surprised that there are some of these new programs will open up the opportunity for especially self-employed people, people that might be retired, people that make their income other than W-2 income. These are all people that could benefit from these programs. Even if your credit scores aren't all that great, or maybe you don't quite have the down payment, don't let someone tell you for sure that you can't do this until you talk to someone else or get a second opinion. It's just like a doctor's opinion. I mean, if you're concerned about something, wouldn't you go get a second opinion? Most people would. I'll tell you, it's the same thing in real estate, same thing in lending. If someone tells you, sorry, you can't qualify for this loan, that's fine. Maybe they're right, but what if they're wrong? What if they're wrong and you don't follow through and you miss out on a house or an opportunity? That would not be a good thing. So all I'm suggesting is work with someone you trust. If you don't trust them, or if someone tells you that you don't qualify, give us a call. We will give you a second opinion. All right, this is Joe Kuchera of the Real Estate Radio Live. Thanks again for tuning in today. Thanks for those that are following us on Facebook. For more information, download the podcast. You could always go to reradiolive.com. Take care until next time.
You've been listening to Real Estate Radio Live. For more information on today's program, visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Discover more at reradiolive.com.